Blog Talk Radio. Juggling work and how to get hired are some of the topics we'll be discussing with my very special guest today, so give a listen in. Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, August 11th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles. So thank you so much for joining in. We love to hear from you. So please, you can call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Those 10 magic numbers are 347-857-2710. And you can also email us here at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. That's goodvibe, V-I-B-E, experience@gmail.com. Well, let's get started with our show today. My guest is an expert on issues related to career, business, and women entrepreneurship. Her background in executive search and staffing includes placing thousands of people in Fortune 500 and fast growth companies. Her upcoming book, Climbing to C-Level, offers solutions to women who get stuck mid-career. And as a mother of three, my guest is also an advocate for working moms. So please get some pen to paper, because we're going to be giving you some invaluable information on all topics today. So please give a warm welcome to Diane Gubin. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Lauren. Delighted to be here. Thank you.
You know what? I'm delighted to be here, too, because the alternative is not so good, right?
No, it's not.
Well, I am grateful and thankful that you've joined me today on the show, and love talking about women's issues, women in general, because we, as women, have a lot to offer, and it's so wonderful to have an expert in your particular field and to talk about what's going on in the economy today, especially since it takes two incomes to take care of a household today, and so a lot of moms are going back to work more now than ever. So what are some of the tricks of the trade for moms to use in the interviewing process in reentering the job market?
Well, I actually think that instead of reentering, women shouldn't even leave the job market. I think that once you leave the job market, it's so much harder to get back in. You should stay in if you take a leave of any kind that's, you know, more than a maternity leave. At least do consulting or part-time work, you know, to keep your fingers in the clay, so to speak. I did a lot of research on working moms, and what I found is, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, that 73% of moms with children are in the workforce, which is huge. That's, you know, let's say that's 75% now, because this study came out in 2000. And we can just contrast that to 1975, when you and I were kids probably, and then only 47% of moms were in the workforce. So most moms have to work today, as you said.
Right. Was your mother a working mom?
My mom was yours?
Well, my mom worked at, prior to having children, and after she had my brother and I, she didn't have a so-called career. She was more of a civic-minded woman. So her career, so to speak, was in philanthropy and other things. But no, she didn't. So
she did a lot of good work. And Lauren, do you have kids?
I don't. I don't. So
you don't.
You know, I find it interesting your comment how. You said it's best for women not to leave the job market. What about a woman who, you know, when you, it's so funny, as a woman, everybody, I think, tries to put a label on you that because of you're of a certain age and you want to find a job, you have to re-enter. It's this whole, I don't know, it's this whole kind of, it's not what it once was, let's put it that way, in finding employment, period.
No. No, it's so hard because employers today, they really want lateral moves. They want someone who's doing the exact same job in a parallel company to move into their job and pay you a similar rate. You know, and people are so hungry for jobs now that the longer you're out of the job market, the harder it is to get in. There really is something to say that you get stale and that if you're out of work for extended periods of time, you know, it's an employer's market. They don't have to hire you. They don't have to look at you. So if you do take a break as a mom, again, you know, consult or do something. You know, keep your professional network alive. I'm really big on that. You know, the more people you know who can pull you into their companies, the healthier your, you know, home economics will be.
Well, it's always about networking and working together with each other. I have a dear friend who is in the corporate world and newly married and is about to go on maternity leave. So how would you advise women in a similar position?
Well, talking about maternity leaves, because I've had three of them, so I definitely can speak to that.
You're an expert.
I'm an expert, yes. Well, the first thing is, and I see this so much, women announce their pregnancies way too early. You're 3 months pregnant, you know, you barely, you know, the conception barely has stuck, and you're telling people you're pregnant. And when you tell people you're pregnant at 3 months, you are forever colored with being pregnant. You know, how are you feeling? Let's watch your body. Let's see the changes. Oh, she can't stay late. Whatever it is, it's too long a pregnancy. So if you wait until you're so popped that people just think that you're really gaining a lot of weight and then announce your pregnancy around 5 months, then you have the shortest pregnancy ever. People adjust to it, and you don't have to talk about it that extra time period. So that's one thing about, you know, being pregnant. But moving on to when you take your leave, you know, I do think it's really important to take a maternity leave. I know I probably didn't give myself enough time on maternity leaves, and I always, you know, worked or, you know, stayed online or stayed connected to my office at the same time. But, you know, I was, as a working parent and a primary breadwinner in my household, I didn't have the luxury of really saying, gosh, I'm going to take the next year off. So you have to create support networks, you know, when you have new babies. So whether it's, you know, daycare, which, you know, for a lot of people is not a pleasant thing, or neighbors or caretakers, you need to create a strong network so that you can, you know, stay in the workforce, because ultimately it's not necessarily about that pregnancy, but in 5 or 10 or 15, 20 years, you still need to maintain your career pace so that you can, you know, not leave and always, if you leave the workforce and you come back in, you always are at a lower income. And to regain what you've lost is harder to do than ever before.
Why
does that make sense?
Why is this just for women or people in general, the lower income?
I think it's for people in general. I think it's for everybody. If you leave the workforce, you know, there are so many people scrambling for jobs. If you don't keep your skills as solid as possible, it really becomes a detriment. And, you know, for women, you know, you never think you're going to get divorced. You never think you're going to be a widow. You never think that things are going to happen. You know, I really feel so strongly about women being empowered, especially financially, to always be self-supporting and self-sustaining.
Yes, I think today's message, you know, not having children myself, I know my message to, if I did have children, would be completely different to the message that I got as a young woman, because my parents were older. So my mother's message was more from a 50s mentality, where career was not so much important as a relationship with a spouse and a mate. You know, and though I must say, and I know your experience, that some of my single friends who have never been married and are still single want that mate relationship, and that's the hardest thing they can find, because they've been married to their work. So
yes,
it's how
and,
do
you know,
we juggle?
Yes.
How do mothers, women juggle career and family?
And that is one of the hardest juggles. You know, I think it's hard for women who do have a supportive significant other or spouse, let alone single moms. I don't know how single moms do it, because I think that's one of the toughest jobs in the world. How do you do it? You know what? You spread yourself too thin. That's how you do it. You do everything you can to keep your job and succeed in your job, and you do everything to balance your home life. And I think in many ways, you know, the perfectionist you used to be goes. The house is never as clean as you want. You know, the cooking gets done, but it's never gourmet, and your kids have to step up to the plate a little earlier and take on, you know, chores and responsibilities where, you know, they might not be happy about that.
So, well, I think you're right. Your family has to be its own little business, because everybody has mm-hmm. has to work together and to run a tight ship and to have everything not necessarily perfect is about letting go, but having it run smoothly is having a kind of order, in a sense, so that you can do many things that need to get done.
Right. And you know, I look at some of the other countries, and they have so much maternity time, and they have so much time off for people to spend with their families or take vacations. You know, and here in the U.S., you know, we have so many key issues here. You know, workplaces are very inflexible towards working parents. You know, there's often, you know, there's job discrimination. There's a total lack of child care. You know, people are commuting long distances, and they still have to get back to that daycare center by 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock or whatever time it is. Otherwise, you pay by the minute for daycare. You know, parents don't get time off. There's a lack of sick time. Your kid gets sick. What happens? It's a very difficult thing to have kids and have two working parents, because inevitably one of the parents ends up giving in. And what happens is when one of the parents ends up saying, okay, I'll be the one that, you know, takes, you know, Susie to the doctor, and that happens repeatedly, and God forbid your kid has any kind of a major issue, you end up having to not be able to work, and you have to start a business, because it's the only way you get the flexibility that you need to juggle everything in your life. Do you see that?
Yeah, yes, it is a sense of flexibility, and I guess that's why some people work at home. I mean, you mentioned you're a mother of three. What was your experience with your first child and the work environment? Were they flexible with you?
At that time, I was working in New York, and my husband, we made the decision that my husband was going to be a stay-at-home dad, so we did a little daycare, and then my husband pretty much took over because I was the one making more income at that time. But if it had been the reverse, and my husband was making more income, then, you know, our entire lives would have evolved differently. So in our case, I have a stay-at-home dad who's been around, and he's been more kicking and screaming career-wise. You know, he has a very similar career to yours, where he's an artist. You know, you're a comedian. He does comedy, performs, does reality shows, etc. So he has a much more flexible schedule than I do, and that's the only thing that's allowed us really to be there for our kids.
Yes. Now I know you also are the president of a executive search and staffing company. And would you, if you did have a career mom looking for work? How, and since we've talked about flexibility seems to be a component in a successful working relationship, no pun intended, or maybe that is a pun.
Mm-hmm.
I made a pun. There you go. I made a pun.
there you go.
I made a pun. How would you advise your client? Can you ask for that?
You know, I think if you ask for it, the response is next. I really think that if you are a working parent, you have to pretend that you don't have kids. You know, when I moved to Los Angeles and I had, my son was about three at the time, three or four, you know what, nobody knew that I even had a kid. When I started in a job, and it was months into the job, I said I have to go home and take care of my son. They were like, oh, you have a child. I was actually really afraid to talk about it. I think it's a little bit looser right now, but it's also swinging back to I'm not saying hide your children. Please don't misunderstand me.
Please hide them. Here's how.
Hide them. I think what happens in the workforce is you find other working parents who become part of your network and support system, who you bounce things off of. I'm really, really big on professional networking, and you just end up finding, you know, other people who share your interests. But in the business world, people don't want to talk about your kids. They really don't. It's the biggest news out there. You know, who wants to hear, you know, your kid, yes, your kid took their first step. You could go on and on and on. And, yes, it becomes a point of conversation. But ultimately, I really find people don't want to talk about families or other people's families. Do you find that? I do.
Well, most of my friends have family, so that's
uh-huh.
seems to be their life is centered around that
uh-huh.
and career. Maybe it's different with men. Men don't maybe talk about that. That's not what they do, you know, because that seems to be
right.
a more of a woman's topic. But you know, there are many
yeah.
situations like yours where the husband is a stay-at-home dad.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we are blessed that we were able to afford doing that. But even within the business world, you know, I think it has to stay focused on business, or people get, you know, I want to say fatigue of listening to you talk about whatever it is your personal issue is. It doesn't have to be family. It could be, you know, elder care. It could be, you know, your mother. It could be anything. You know, I think if you stay focused on business, you know, everybody appreciates the professionalism that comes out of that.
Well, of course, because there's a job at hand, and that job is to focus on selling or promoting or doing whatever it is your business is, so everybody can
mm-hmm.
get the big, you know, cha-ching at the end of the month, right? And that's what
right.
is really important. Yeah.
Right.
So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
What you I know you within your staffing company, you do a lot of work for Fortune 500 companies. How many women work for these Fortune 500 companies?
Well, I think a lot of women are at mid-management levels, but as you climb up the ranks, it kind of slums down. And, you know, Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook has been doing a lot of talking about this, and I've been doing a lot of research on it for my book. And, you know, one of the things that Sheryl Sandberg talks about, you know, and she's talked about it on TED, et cetera, is how women drop out of the workforce before they've even entered it. And I think that is partly the attribute when you talk about your mom being a 50s mom and having different core values. Those women, you know, our moms didn't make it to those higher rungs, you know, at that point, which is why there are so many men there now. But I think women do drop out. You know, they before they even get pregnant, before they even have a relationship, they start worrying about how they're going to juggle everything that we're talking about. And because of that, they don't take the positions, or they're not, they just mentally check out. That's what Sheryl talks about, how you mentally check out. And then because you've mentally checked out, you know, that vibe kind of follows you. And then you're passed over for the jobs that require extensive travel, the ones where you have more visibility, the ones where you're invited to dinner, et cetera. So there is this whole thing that I'm actually starting a new networking group for women, because I really believe that as women, we have to pull each other up. It's pulling each other up, and it's doing more business together so that our daughters will have those opportunities to get to those higher ranks, because we're going to be pulling each other up. You know, if you look at the traditional male-oriented corporate environments, you know, you and I can talk about how important it is to network and go out and get a mentor, but what I've ultimately found from my research, and this was a huge aha, was it's not even about mentors, because, you know, it's easy enough for, oh, I think you're phenomenal, Lauren, I'm going to mentor you, and in many ways we all mentor each other. But internally at corporations, the thing that's made these guys so successful, and a lot of them are our friends, is they've had what is called an internal sponsor. Someone who has literally said, you know, forget your Lauren, let's pretend you're Larry. Larry, I want you to be here. And they've really prepaved the way for that, versus the mentoring, which is more nurturing. So I think until women are in those positions, or really think about how to sponsor other women and get women into key positions where other women pull each other up, until that happens, we're going to see more men at the top.
Well, and I also think men, they don't have a responsibility. I might get a little graphic, but, you know, they're in for the
right.
deed, and then they're gone, right? And so
Right.
For the woman, there's more responsibility, and then there's something growing inside of you, that connection, and the challenge a woman faces when that child is born to say, well, okay, I've got choices to make now. I mean, do I want to see, you know, little Bobby or Susie take that first step or throw that first pitch or miss out on Little League and swim team and blah, 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 because I want to get to the top, which is fine, you know, but these are choices that women face that men don't, because it's part of...
That's true.
It's part of the stigma of men, male versus women, you know, not that women can't have it all, but I think it's at more of a sacrifice to women. And maybe...
I definitely agree. It is, that is the key. It is a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you know, I think what happens when you're a younger woman and you've looked at women who are in their 40s or 50s and made those sacrifices, I think the younger women are saying, I don't want to do that. And they're looking for other ways to do it.
Exactly. I know of a woman who is older who missed out on the first time due to her husband leaving her with two children and forced to be a career mom and raise two children, and missed out on the activities that her child participated in, as opposed to having two other children with someone else. She said, "I'm going to be there for my children." She made that choice. I mean, it's very interesting. I don't really know. Here's the question: can we as women really have it all? I mean, and then what is all?
Yes, and I struggle with that too. And I've had people say to me, "Well, you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time." I go, "Why not?"
Well, that's true.
It's true. I do want it all at the same time, and I'm sure your list of goals is as big as mine, and, you know, we just kind of, you know, inch our way towards them. But for working women who have children, it really, you have two jobs. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you do have your career. You get up, you go do your career, you get everybody out the door, you need to do what you need to do. And then in the evening, you know, then it's your family time, and then it's taking care of whatever other personal business you need to do. And by the time you go to bed, quite honestly, you're exhausted. It's that whole thing about, you know, and when do I take care of the cats? You know.
Exactly. Well, you know, Hillary Clinton said it does take a village to raise a family, and it's very true. You have to have, like any business, it takes a lot of people. We can't do it alone. So through networking and doing whatever we need to do to find the right people to take on these roles that will help us be successful at what we want to do.
Absolutely, or looking for different kinds of companies to work for. There's an association called World Blue, B-L-U, World Blue, and they are all about democratic workplaces. And I had the privilege of going to their annual conference, and it was all about how do you create the best working environments in the world. And there were companies there from all over the world. You know, from here in our area, Zappos was there, Hulu, Groupon. You know, you could name drop some great companies. And the thing is, what makes a great company versus any other company or you know, an aerospace company? And a lot of it is it hierarchical management, you know, where it's that top-down approach, or is it more consensus-driven and more democratic and, you know, much more female-oriented, I want to say, where it's inclusive, where everybody's opinions count, where, you know, maybe it's a flexible schedule, which would help a lot of working mothers, where maybe it's job sharing. Maybe it's just being a little open to doing things differently than it's been done in the past. Maybe it's allowing people to work virtual so they don't have to commute. I mean, there are all sorts of ways now for working mothers or working parents, you know, to get to where they need to be. And I don't think it's the way that it used to be 20 years ago.
You know what? You're hired. You're hired. You're amazing. You're hired, Diane.
Oh, gosh,
and
Lauren.
You're hired. I'll give you whatever you want, flexibility, money. You got it, girl. You are so hired.
I want
and
it all.
You
want it all.
You got it all right here on the show. I'll give it to you all.
College is expensive.
That's okay. You can have whatever you want. But before we go, and I can't believe we're almost out of time, I want you to please tell our listeners about this exciting book of yours, Climbing to Sea Level. Tell us more about that.
Climbing to Sea Level, it's about why women get stuck mid-career and what to do about it. I am working with a co-author who is a CIO, a chief information officer, and she's had some pretty big jobs, and I've worked with pretty big companies, and we've done a lot of research. I've run professional women's networking groups, and what we've seen time and time again is women get stuck, and it comes back to how do you get to those higher levels? How do you get to those better paying jobs? How do women work with each other? It's everything we talked about in terms of networks, and that really is, to us, climbing to sea level. It's the power and importance of networking and really creating new networks where women pull each other up within corporations and we work with each other. We give each other the business, and we really consciously look for that. And that is what our book is about. You know, I do a lot of coaching, too. In addition to staffing, I do a ton of career coaching. And what happens when someone comes to me, they're either stuck trying to find a job or they're in a job they hated and they need to make a transition. And a lot of times for somebody, it's how do you start a business? And, you know, we talk about, you know, business incubation processes, lots of creative visualization, which I'll bet you're good at.
Yeah. So if I came to you and said, hey, Diane, you know, I want to start my own news format. I have a radio show, and now I want to bump that up a bit. What would be advice that you could give to me as an example? Where would I begin?
Well, first I'd want to know a little bit about your history and why you want to do this. What is your driving force behind it? You know, what's your bigger vision? And really make sure it's clear. Because what I've also found with people who want to be entrepreneurial is they don't always have a clear business plan. You know, it's great that you want to bump up what you're doing, but how are you going to make money doing it? Or is it just going to be a labor of love? And at the end of the day, you're going to have to get stuck and go find another source of income. So it comes back to how is whatever you're going to do going to produce revenue so that you can be self-supporting it?
Wonderful. So these are questions people can ask themselves. What would be another? Give us two more questions people can ask themselves in this regard.
I think at the end of your life, what is it you really want to accomplish? I think everybody is here for a mission and a purpose, and that can change at different points in your life. So the question is, what is your purpose? You know, my purpose is to touch millions of people with their careers. I'm very involved with Mom Life TV, which is a television network being launched on the web in about another month. And the gal who's launching it, Sandy Pelland, her mission is to help as many moms as possible around the globe. So everybody's got a mission. And if you think bigger, it's that whole thing about reaching for the moon and maybe you'll land, reaching for the stars and you'll land up at the moon. Why are you here? What's your purpose and what are you doing towards that bigger purpose? Good food for thought on that.
That's a lot of food. And I'm hungry. That's a lot of food. And that's great advice. I think people need to look at themselves and see to answer these deep questions that sometimes we're too fearful to address. But you have given me food for thought, and I'm going to dial you up myself. But I want to give your contact information out to our listeners, and they can log out to your website, which is Diane Gubin, DianneGub. As in boy, IN.com, and your number 818-222-0300, so people can learn questions 4, 5, and 6. You only gave out the first three. I like that. That's tricky. But you have some wonderful information. Now, Diane, do you have a successful mom story that you can share with us?
A personal one or somebody I've worked
with? Or one of your clients that, wow, here's a career mom and here's what we did and boom, look at where she's gone.
Oh, gosh. You know, I've worked with, you know what? Yes. There is a mom who I coach. She was super involved in the PTA. She didn't have to work. She had a business at one point, but then she gave it up. She became the head of the PTA for an entire district. And she got stuck. Her husband got terminated. She needed to go back to work, and she couldn't figure out what to do. And what we decided was best for her and where she is right now is running a nonprofit. Because with all that volunteer work and all the contacts she made, she became very, very good at fundraising, sponsorships, et cetera. So running a nonprofit was the perfect place for her. And she is, as you can tell from running the PTA, the perfect mom story.
That's wonderful. Well, you know what? We are almost out of time, and I want to thank you, Diane Gubin, for being a delightful guest on the show today. And again, people can go to your website, DianneGubin.com, and call you at 818-222-0300. And also look for Diane's upcoming book, Climbing to Sea Level, which will be a fascinating read for everyone, especially for career moms. So again, Diane, thank you so much for joining us. And please join me next time for another Wild Crazy Journey in Someone Else's Shoes. Well, my guest will be actress and author Dee Wallace. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes.